All right, let's stand together one last time to read the scripture tonight. We have three verses we're going to read in Matthew chapter number 11. And I know we're a little bit later tonight with Patch the Pirate and everything. I will not be as late tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. We'll read in verse number 28. As you're turning there, I forgot to announce a Christmas gift for Jesus. And I've mentioned it already. We need to replace our buses. And so the best way for us to do it is one at a time over the years. And so please, I encourage you to be very faithful looking at it. By the way, our bus ministry over the last 4 months has been, it's always good, but over the last 4 or 5 months, it's been tremendous. And they've been doing really well. And that's 263 people coming to church that typically would not be able to come to church if it wasn't for a bus. And so we need to replace those. It's just, it's nothing that we've done. It's the state of California. And someone says, if you don't like the way the state of California is being run, you might want to watch who you elect. Okay, there's not much else we can do, right? But so Matthew chapter 28. So we'll be taking that on the 17th also. So I hope that you'll pitch in for that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, we'll read. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray over the next few minutes, Lord, you'd help us to be still. You'd help us to be able to just maybe hear some thoughts from your word that would encourage us if we're going through a tough time, and teach us what you want tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You ever hear, here's a phrase you hear sometimes. You ask someone to do something or to be a part of something and do it, and the thing they'll tell you is this: I'm just not feeling it. How many of you have ever heard that? Okay, that's their way of saying, you know, there's something emotional going on and I'm down and I'm just not into this thing. And people use that. By the way, they usually say that right before they're quitting on something and they're not going to do something, or maybe they're discouraged, or they have emotionally checked out. And by the way, that type of thing is real. Sometimes we go through times in our life where things are going on and our emotions are just not where they should be. And that's okay as long as we make sure that we keep our emotions under control. Whether you call it discouragement or it's sometimes people call it burnout or whatever you want to call it, it is real and it happens. And if it's not dealt with and if it's not taken care of, it makes everything in your life look a lot worse than it really is. When you're in that emotional state of mind, you start feeling disillusioned. You can start feeling helpless, like, what's the sense? Nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to get going in the right direction. You might feel worn out. By the way, you think of people in the Bible. Elijah was like that. Here was Elijah, and he went, and he called down fire from heaven. Think about that. There was 850 leaders, false prophets, that he had a contest with, and he called down fire from heaven, and the fire from heaven, his offering that was there, it consumed the offering, and they also took care of the 850 false prophets. You would have thought that he would have been on an emotional high. And then he goes home, and Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, he runs into the forest because he's emotionally drained. Okay? It happens. And so we need to be very careful about it, and we need to just handle it in the right way. When we're feeling down, problems can seem insurmountable. By the way, typically, most problems are not insurmountable. They're only insurmountable when we get the thought in our mind that there's nothing we can do and we're not going to be able to get through this, and then it looks worse. Everything looks bleak, and everything seems difficult. You can have a sense. You start having feelings that'll give you a sign that you're struggling. You start, maybe if you feel a sense of failure or self-doubt that I'm not good enough. And by the way, whenever you think that you're not good enough, get in line. No one's still good enough. I mean, we compare ourselves to the Lord. It's like we just don't match up. And the Lord doesn't want us to compare ourselves to him, so we have that feeling in our life. He doesn't want us to feel like that. We feel trapped in the situations we're in, and we feel defeated. And then what happens if we're not careful? We get frustrated, and we take those frustrations out on others, and that's not what God really wants us to do. And this frustration or this sense of emotional drainage, it can happen in many, many areas of our life. Sometimes we get emotionally drained in our marriages. Maybe you're going through a tough patch, and maybe there's some things going on. It's just like, it's just not worth it. And by the way, what usually happens in that instance, some people say, well, you know, I just want a divorce. I just want to move on. Typically, it's that they don't want a divorce. They want a new spouse. Not realizing if you get a new spouse, it's going to be the same situation because people are people. You got to work it out. We get frustrated in our parenting. We get frustrated with our family and our friends. And even it can happen spiritually speaking. Emotions and frustrations can cause us not to be as spiritual as we need to be, not to fulfill God's will in our life if it goes to the worst extreme. Well, the verses we've read were very simplistic tonight, but Jesus here gives us a wonderful invitation, an invitation that can help us to not check out, to not emotionally say or spiritually say, I'm not feeling it, but to keep us in line and keep us doing the things we're supposed to do and going forward and finding his answers and finding the cures and finding the solutions that are there if we will just not quit. You see, God wants us to be fulfilled, not in a selfish way. The world tells you to be fulfilled by doing your own thing. By the way, that never brings fulfillment. That always brings emptiness. When your life is just wrapped up around yourself and fulfilling yourself and excluding others, you're never going to get to fulfillment in your life. Fulfillment comes when we're following God and we're serving him and doing what he wants to do, and then that's where fulfillment comes. God wants us to have joy. It's all over the Bible. In Nehemiah 8:10, he tells us, neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of us are weak because we've simply lost our joy in the Lord. Okay? Now, all of us are going to face times that are tough to get through, and you feel a little bit drained, but I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord gives us strength. Because joy comes from our relationship from God, and when we have that, the joy is always there, and we can get through the situations in life that we are facing. 1 John 5:2, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, obey them, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous because they bring joy. Psalm 100, verse 2, we read this when we taught on Thanksgiving a few weeks ago. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. God doesn't want us just to serve him. His service ought to be a joyful thing because it's just an outreach of everything else that we do. Of course, we know the verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why do we struggle? Some struggle, and we end up like Martha. You can keep your finger there and turn over to Luke also. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. I just want to read a couple of verses. Keep your finger in Matthew chapter number 11 there. Luke chapter 10, please, and verse number 38. We know this story well. Mary and Martha are our sisters, and Jesus is there with them, and they're in the house together. And they're doing two different things. One is serving the Lord, and the other is spending time with the Lord. It says we'll start in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. In other words, she's there serving the food and all that and taking care of everything, and Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet, and instead of saying, hey, Mary, can I get some help? She says, Jesus, can you tell her to get up and help me serve? I need help. She was frustrated. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, he's not saying that, you know, the whole service deal was an issue and she shouldn't have been serving. He says, you're all frustrated about this thing. You're trying to do something and do it right, but you're frustrated and you're all caught up and you're in a tizzy about this. And then he says in verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall never be taken away from her. He says, you know, listen, serving's one thing, but don't get on her. She's chosen the right thing. And probably the reason that Martha was all scattered out and all over the map is because she wasn't doing the thing that Mary was doing, focusing on Jesus Christ. She was focusing on the task without focusing on who the task was for. Martha had issues. She had an open house. She brought Jesus in, but her heart was closed to God, to spending time with Christ. She was choosing serving over sitting. She was choosing others over Christ. But Mary got it right. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she was hearing what he has to say. If we're going to serve Jesus, and we're not going to be emotionally drained, emotionally burned out, not feeling it, whatever you want to call it, discouraged, down, then we need to follow the plan that we saw in Matthew chapter 11. This plan will help us to know what to do when we're just not feeling it. Okay? And I think it's a four-step plan here. What is it? First of all, what do? We start to feel this emotional drainage, just a little bit frazzled. We all feel it. First of all, we got to go to where he is. Got to go to where he's at. Verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where the checkout begins. That's where the problems start. They always start when we quit going to Christ. And by the way, he's not going to force himself upon you. He says, you come to me. Now, you say, well, that sounds like he doesn't care. Plus, he's everywhere. It's not that far a step. But it is a step. And he says, if you're going to get this rest, if you are laboring, if you're heavy laden, if you feel burdened, you need to come to me if you're going to get the help that you need. We have to go where he is. And when we don't go to where he is, that's where the problems always start. Many people want to go out for him, but very few actually ever come to him. Who are the candidates? Who does he want to come to him? He says those who are laboring. By the way, he's there for everybody, but there's a lot of people that say they get stressed, they want to come to Jesus, and yet they never do anything for Jesus. I don't understand how you get too stressed in that type of thing. But it's for those who are laboring. Those are saying, listen, I'm trying to serve him, and I want to be right with him, and I want to do the right thing, and I'm trying to do something for him. So there's a balance there. See, what happens too often, we try to parse between the Martha and the Mary. Say, well, you know, I can't do anything for Jesus because I'm over here sitting at his feet. Well, listen, if you sit at his feet, there comes a time you need to get up and get out. Well, you know, I can't spend a lot of time with Jesus because I'm over here laboring for him. I'm doing something for him. Well, you know what? If you're doing something for him, you know, you need to go over there and you need to spend some time for him and remember who you're serving and why you're serving. But we're laboring. Why do we need to come? Because if we're going to serve him, we have to come to him because that's where the strength is. That's where everything we need to be able to serve him comes from. Years ago, we used to do for Old Fashioned Day. I don't think the city wants us to do it anymore. They freaked out one time. We used to do the oil lanterns. Remember those? You think of those lanterns, they have the oil in them, and you have that wick. If you put that wick in the lantern, and the lantern has oil, and you light the wick will never exhaust itself because the oil's burning. Now, the wick's on fire, but the wick is not going to be consumed because there's oil in it, there's energy, and the oil's fine. Now, if you run out of oil and you light that wick, what's going to happen? It's going to burn out. It's going to be consumed. That's kind of how we are. We try to do like Martha did, everything by ourselves without going to the Lord, and we're the wick, and we're burning. We have no oil. We have God's strength for the day, for the journey, for everything we're doing, but if we don't avail ourselves of it, well, of course we're going to be frazzled. Of course, if you go outside, there's just a lot of nonsense in our world now. I don't say that to complain. It is what it is. That's, you know, like I say, I'm not surprised when someone who doesn't know the Lord acts like someone who doesn't know the Lord. But I'll tell you what, it can be frustrating. It can be a little, but you know, it gets more frustrating if we're not spending time with God. It gets a little more infuriating and a little bit harder to take if we're not with the Lord. And so he says, if you're laboring, if you're trying to serve me, if you're trying to do the right thing, come unto me. But he also mentions those who are burdened, heavy laden. You got a burden? You know, sometimes we think, just because someone's been a Christian for a while and they're serving God and they spend time with God and everything's good, you know, and they're trying to do the right thing and boy, they seems like they know their walk and they know what they're supposed to be doing, that they're never going to have a problem. That's not the case. Burdens come to everybody. So the issue isn't, are you ever going to have a burden? The issue is, what are you going to do with that burden? See, too many of us try to self-contain it. I can just get through this. I can kind of just handle this on my own. I'll just kind of man up. That doesn't work. By the way, it doesn't, it, you know, when I used to work, I used to work at a warehouse and we would do paper and some of the boxes were quite heavy, several hundred pounds. And they'd always have the stickers on the wall. If you've worked at a warehouse like that, they always say, don't lift yourself, team lift. Right? They're telling you, like, look, if the box is too heavy, don't just do it yourself. Now, they're concerned about you? No, they're concerned about you getting injured and having to pay workman's comp. That's what they're concerned about. But it's like, listen, if that's heavy, all you got to do is grab another employee and say, hey, help me move this box. It's too much. And too many of us are trying to move everything and do everything ourselves, and the Lord says, come unto me. Are you laboring for me? Are you struggling? Do you have a burden on your do you have a burden on you that you need help with? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You burdened today? Well, Jesus says the answer is to come to him. We get weakened and we lose our strength whenever we do everything without coming to him. And so he tells us today, if you're going to feel it, you got to come to him. Come to where he's at. Number two, we've got to do what he is doing. Okay? He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, a yoke would bind animals together to work together to accomplish something. They weren't doing it on their own. They were together. They were a team. You know, the whole synergy concept. If you had a horse, I think the number I remember is like one of those Clydesdales, they can pull like 5,000 pounds by themselves. So if you put two of them together, you would assume that they would pull 10,000 pounds. But together, you put two of them together, they would pull 15,000 pounds. What? Well, wait a minute. 5 and 5 equals 15? No. There's a synergy in working together. There's a synergy in that work that's together. So if we're doing what we want to be with Christ, we've got to do what he's doing, but we got to yoke up with him. We got to do the things he wants us to do, because if we're doing the things that he wants us to do, we're going to be doing it with him. What did he tell us the Great Commission? You know, go and teach all nations and baptize them and teach them to observe all things. And he gets to the end, and what does he say? Lo, I am with you always. He didn't say, hey, I'm out of here, guys. This is on you now. I'm done. You know, you take over. I'm going to heaven. And he says, no, this is what I need you to do, but I am with you always. Now, if we're not doing what he wants us to do, we're not going to experience that. He's given us tasks. He gives us the power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So listen, you got to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. You got to go, but you're going to receive power to be able to do that. As we work for him and spend time with him, we can do what he wants us to do without burning out, without stressing out, without all that's going on. I've known too many men, guys I went to college with, and they were gotten the ministry and they get out because it's just too much. I can't handle it. It's just too much work. If it's too much work, it's because they've chosen to make it too much. If it's too much of a burden, they've chosen to make it too much of a burden. But when we work with him, we get his power. when we do what he's doing, he says it's an easy yoke. For my yoke is easy. That doesn't mean that it doesn't involve effort. But it's not a hard effort in a sense it's all on us. It's an easy effort. And he says his burden is light. Now he says, casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. But when we are working with him, whatever burden that comes with that, it's light in a sense that he is helping us to carry the load. Look, you have two options. You can either carry the load yourself or you can get help. It's up to us. You say, that's just too much for me. Maybe you're not getting the help you need. Maybe you're not availing yourselves of the help that you can, that's available to you. Get the help. Thirdly, he says that we are to get what he is teaching. He says, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. See, like Mary, we do need to choose the good part. Now, that's not to the exclusions of not serving, but that's the good part. Because that's the part that makes you the person you're supposed to be so you can handle what he wants you to do. But so many of us, we cut ourselves off from that. By the way, you're never going to get to a point where you don't need to learn what God is trying to teach you. Never. It's not like, I've read the Bible, I'm done with that book. I got it all. Listen, you could read it 1,000 times and you still are only scratching the surface. So it's constant. We have to get what he is teaching. We have to choose the better part. The better part is the teaching like Mary did, sitting at his feet. He said that part is needful. You have to have it. It's not an option. And then he also said it's good. See, we just want to get out and do things. And some of you have a heart to serve. By the way, some of you need to get a heart to serve, but some of you have a real heart to serve. There's a spiritual gift of serving. And some people, they'll just, you know, they have a real desire to serve. And if you ask them to do anything, they're, you know, I need someone to do this. Their hand's the first one up every single time. Now, what they don't realize, you can't do everything. But they have a heart and they want to serve. But listen, you're not equipped to serve if you're not learning what he's trying to teach. You're not equipped to serve if you're not spending time with him. I heard a statement many years ago, and it's true. God is more concerned with the worker than he is the work. In other words, God's more concerned with, if you're a Sunday school teacher, let me just tell you something. God's more concerned with where you are spiritually than how you're teaching that class. You say, well, why? Because if you're not spiritually right, teaching that class, you're not going to be able to do it right anyhow. But if you are who you're supposed to be, you'll be able to be a blessing to them. Very important. When I was in Bible college, there'd be guys coming in, you know, these 19 and 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. And it's like, man, I got to get out of here. The world's dying and going to hell, and I'm wasting time in college. And it's like, so what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to go somewhere and start a church. It's like, all right, do you know what you have to do to start a church? I'm just, you know, preach. Were you going to meet somewhere? Were you going to have chairs to sit in? Were you going to have psalm books? Do you know how to, you know, when you run a church, you got to actually do the finances. You know that? Okay, you know, just throw money in the offering. I heard a pastor one time, he said he was ignorant. He went and started a church. He had no idea what to do. And he's like, they had their first service, you know, and his wife and them moved out there. And they had like $50 to their name. And they didn't know where they're getting their money next week just by faith. And he had no idea. He was green as, and he says, we're going to have an offering today. And really, I need the money. Goes, my wife and I, we came to start this church, and I got like $50 for the month. And it's like, so if you can help, that'd be great. Now, that's not probably the best. But sometimes God oversees our ignorance. But listen, you know, it'd be better if we took a little bit of time and learned a little bit more of what we're supposed to do, and we'll be more effective in what we're doing. Heard a story that logging days, they needed some men to cut down some trees, and so these were back when they would chop them down by hand. And so they asked these guys, and it's like this guy came in for an interview, and he's like, all right, get out there, let's go. And this young kid had energy, and he was great. I mean, he went out there first day, he was one of the best. He was cutting down all these trees. He could cut them down quickly. He could drop them exactly where they needed to be. A week later, his numbers had been dropping off every day. And it got to the point where he was nowhere near where the other guys were, and the boss is like, I got to fire this guy. So he pulled him in. He goes, listen, you're not cutting it. I got to let you go. He goes, but I don't understand why. I'm working harder than all the other guys, and I work through my breaks because I'm trying to stay caught up. He goes, I don't understand it. And the boss said, how often do you sharpen your axe? He goes, I haven't had time. He's like, that's your problem. You got to sharpen the axe. A sharper axe, you're going to cut down more trees. Listen, we're going to serve him. We've got to learn what he has for us because it's an easy yoke. But he wants us to learn of him. Next, I want you to understand a couple of things. He said, learn before I'm meek and lowly. He tells us, if you're going to learn how to serve me, here's the qualities to have: meekness and being lowly. We think of serving, we think of, I want to be at the top of the food chain, right? I'm helping you, listen to me. But he's like, no, there's got to be a humility there. There's got to be a meekness. There's got to be a lowliness. In other words, it's not about us. We're relying on him. We get proud. A lot of times what happens in our life, we get to serving God, and boy, we enjoy it, and everything's good. And then we start thinking a little too highly of ourselves. And I kind of know what's going on now. I remember when I was a novice and I really didn't know what was going on, and I kind of figured it out. By the way, when you think you've figured it out, you're in deep trouble. Okay? You're never going to figure it out. The story I told in my Sunday school class, there was a guy, he was the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and he and his wife were traveling and they were driving and they pulled into a gas station. And so they pulled into a gas station, and the owner of the gas station came, and so the man had to go in. I don't know if he had to use the restroom. He went in there while they were getting gas, and he came back out. His wife was having this conversation with this guy. I mean, they were having a real conversation there. And so he saw that, and after they were done, they got in the car, and this Fortune 500 CEO goes, what was that all about? You were really talking. What was that with that guy? She goes, oh, I know him. We went to high school together. And he goes, oh, okay. He goes, well, she goes, actually, we more than went to high school together. He was my boyfriend for a while. And the CEO got proud. He goes, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, aren't you glad you married me and not him? Because you're not the wife of a gas station owner. You're the wife of a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. She goes, no, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking if I married him, he would be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Kind of cut him down to size right there. We think way too highly of ourselves. But if we're going to get what he's trying to teach us, we need to be meek, and we need to be lowly, and we need to serve him in humility, because if it's not in humility, then we think that we're doing everything, and if we think that we're doing everything, the burden is going to be a lot heavier. And then lastly is this: we have to accept what he is offering. Verse 28, he says, and I will give you rest. And then he says, verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to be laboring. We're supposed to be in this yoke with him. We're supposed to be, pushing forward and doing all those things. And yet he says, you'll have rest. I have rest. Because when you're doing your work with him, it's going to be measured correctly. We're going to have the right spirit. We're going to have the right attitude. And we're not going to be all frazzled about it. We live life on a frantic pace. I was just thinking, back in the day, if we wanted to get news, we had to read the newspaper. How many remember those days, right? I remember we lived in the apartment. And down in the corner was like one of those little mini mart things. And my mom would say, go get the newspaper. We want to read it. And we'd have to go get, if we wanted to get sports scores or find out what was going on, we had to run down and get the newspaper. We had, when you watch television, there was 10 channels. 10. How many remember that? Most of them looked like it was snowing, right? Remember it gets windy? I remember we would always watch the Rose Bowl when we were kids. And we would always go down to Pastor Esposito's house downstairs because they had a bigger television than ours. And it's just that time of year with the antenna, it was always windy. And the game, I think, was on one of the channels that didn't come in as well. And every year we watch a Rose Bowl and it was snowing. They say, it's sunny California, it's 85 degrees. I'm like, no, it isn't. It's snowing. I can see it. Old school. You know, if you wanted to play video, well, we didn't play video games. They didn't have anything. We'd have to go down to the pizza place and play pinball. We would go down to Zodi's, and they had a pinball machine, El Toro. You got like five games for a quarter. Okay, that was our video games, pinball machines. I still like pinball machines. When you wanted to talk to your friends, you had to go to their house, okay? Now, we tried something because I lived in apartment 4 upstairs, and the Espositos lived exactly under us in apartment 2, and so we tried the whole thing where we would put, like, the tin can with the string, okay? We called that free telephone. It just didn't work very well. It was better when we stuck our heads out the window and screamed at each other. That's the old school. But think of it now. Now you have hundreds of channels. News is everywhere. It's on your phone. Video games are on your phones. You can connect with the people in an instant. I mean, you don't have a moment's rest. If someone wants to get a hold of you, they'll get a hold of you right now. Things have changed. And so all these things, and things are faster and faster and faster. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in all of it. And life gets busy. And if we're not spending time with the Lord, if we're not coming unto Him the way He tells us to do, we get a little frazzled. But God doesn't want us to be that way. I always say, listen, if you are losing the joy of your Christian life, that's God's way of saying something is wrong and it needs to be fixed. And maybe it's just we've disconnected from Him. All of these things we mentioned, it starts because we have to come to Him first. And He's always there. Let's stand this evening, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed.